The message this morning is, when you pray. No, that's when do you pray. Oh, this is when you pray. But yes, we're going to go with the assumption that you pray. Okay? Step right up there. When you pray, 1 Thessalonians 5:25 says, brethren, pray for us. Since you're praying anyway, keep me in mind. Since you're praying anyway, keep your brothers and sisters in mind. Who here needs prayer? So if you're loving your neighbor as yourself, if you need prayer, think your neighbor needs prayer too? Think your brother or your sister needs prayer too? Is that a hand up, baby? No. Okay. When you pray, pray for us. Each and every one of us need prayer on a regular basis. And since we also are praying, Jesus' disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And he said, when you pray, pray on this wise. Pray on this manner. Pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Is that how Jesus taught him to pray? No. That's what he said to say. But I'm pretty sure he didn't just rattle it off. You can go and say all the right words, but if you're just saying all the right words and they're just words off the top of your head, are we praying? If instead we're saying, Lord, I need you. Think about the Jesus talking about the Pharisee and the publican, the tax collector, and how the Pharisee stood up and said, I thank you, Lord, that I am so wonderful. Slight. Literary license there, but along those lines, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I tithe twice, or I fast twice in a week. I tithe of everything that I have, and I'm not like this guy. Whereas the publican says, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Couldn't even lift his eyes up to heaven. Which one prayed? When you pray, when you are pouring your heart out to God, when you are recognizing that I can't do this on my own, I need God each and every day. I need Him to guide me and direct me. When you're there, don't forget to pray for me. Don't forget to pray for my wife. Don't forget to pray for our brothers and sisters. In James 5, beginning with verse 16, it says, confess your trespasses one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Starts with confess your trespasses. Another version says sins, another version says faults, one to another that you may be healed. And pray one for another. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. We all have areas that we fall short. So years ago, somebody told me I had a remarkable grasp of the obvious, and they were trying to be smart. But I didn't realize that that was such a rare thing. But I find myself, as I'm getting older and crotchety and senile and whatever else I'm happening to get, short-tempered, that it really bothers me if somebody doesn't grasp what I think is obvious. Really, it annoys the snot out of me. Does it do anybody else? There's a problem with that. We all have different backgrounds. We all are formed by God for His purposes, and we're all going to see things different. So if something is obvious to me and it's not obvious to you, it's just because you're coming at it from a different perspective. And if I get upset at that, which I do, then I need prayer. Because there is no reason in the world for me to get upset at somebody else. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, about being selfish was not wanting to do the things that you want, but wanting other people to act the way that you want them to act. This is a shortcoming for me. I'm finding it more and more and more in my life. Brethren, pray for me, because this is an area I see coming up where I need prayer in my life. I get upset at people for not doing what I think they ought to do, because it's the obvious right thing to do from my perspective. And I have to catch myself, and I have to repent of this, and I have to apologize for this. And it happens way too often. But it's coming up, and I'm seeing it. Maybe God's just turning up the heat and turning up the pressure so that the wickedness will bubble up, so you can skin off a little bit more of the dross, a little bit more of the imperfection, so maybe Jesus can shine through me. Confess our faults one with another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. God is willing to work in our lives if we're willing to submit our lives to Him. Lord, touch me. Lord, change me. And Lord, brother so-and-so mentioned this in his life. Lord, I don't know what all's going on there, but you know everything. I lift him up and ask, Father, that you touch him. I lift up my brothers and sisters. I know, Father, they're facing challenges, whether they talk about them or not. I know they're facing challenges, because your word says if a person would live righteously, they will come under persecution. Your word tells us that. It's an expectation that if we walk righteously, we're going to find opposition in this world, because the world is not friendly with God. They've turned their back on God. They're trying to run away from Him, and they want to ridicule anyone who claims to stand for righteousness. I remember when I was running from God, I was quick to point out the faults of people that claim to be following God. You claim to be a Christian, yet you're doing this here. I'm so much better than you, because I don't even claim to be a Christian anymore, because I couldn't do it. Really? It's the wickedness in our heart. Pray one for another. Brethren, when you pray, pray for us. In 2 Corinthians 1, beginning with verse 8, Paul says, "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, about our trouble which came to us in Asia." What's that? Yep. 2 Corinthians 1. I didn't get it in there. Well, that happens. Okay. So I didn't make it to the projector. So there's another one of my whoopsies. Wow. Praise God. I won't point out any of the other whoopsies, but 2 Corinthians 1, 1 through 8, which means you'll have to listen to me and can't just read it. There we go. 1, beginning with verse 8, says, "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, and that we despaired even for our life. Brethren, I was having troubles. I was overwhelmed. We were hard pressed on every side." Verse 9, "Yes, and we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead." In prayer time, Carol mentioned, pray that we might increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith. How about this? Paul just said, we had a death sentence in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but God who raises us from the dead. God who, even if they kill us, God is still God. God is still able to work it out. If He has to raise me up after I'm killed to do what He's got planned, God is able. And trusting in that, you think about Abraham taking Isaac up to sacrifice him. God told Abraham that in Isaac would his seed be called. And through Isaac, his children would be as the sand of the seashore for number, or as the stars for the sky for number. And then he says, go sacrifice him. Take him up, sacrifice him on an altar. trusting God so much, even when things don't make sense, even when I don't see how in the world God's going to work it out. I trust that God knows what He's doing. That's one of those testimonies and one of those standards that cuts me in the heart, because I'm not there. I don't quite get that. You know, intellectually, I can see it, but in my life, do I trust God so much that even when the world is falling apart around me, if God has said He's going to bring me through it, I'm willing to say, I know You're right, God. I don't know how, I don't know why, I don't know what the situation looks like, but I know Your ways are right. Praise God. Verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that He will still deliver us. Do we look back and see what God has already brought us through and recognize that He is directing us, He is at work in us, that He's shown Himself faithful? Do we allow that to increase our faith, trusting Him, praising Him, and relying upon Him? Verse 11, and you also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons for on our behalf for the gift granted to us through the many. Paul says, I want to let you know what's going on, but I also want to let you know that your prayers make a difference. It's important that you prayed for us. Quite a few years ago now, one Sunday morning, it was the Sunday of the Burlington Marathon. I've mentioned this here before, but the Sunday of the Burlington Marathon. And that morning, I just had it in my heart, I needed to pray for the people participating in the race. Obviously, I'm not a runner. It's not one of those things that ever comes up into my mind. I just heard about it on the radio that they were setting up for the Burlington Marathon. And we got here and we were praying in the prayer time. And just so heavy in my heart to pray for the people in the race. And afterwards, I hear about this person who collapsed just a couple hundred yards shy of the finish line. And when they got him into the emergency tent, he had a temperature of 108. His core temperature. And at that temperature, according to science, your body starts breaking down. Your brain is cooking. All of these things are going on. And they put him in a bath of ice and put him into the hospital. But a few days later, they allowed him to go back home. They put him on a flight, on a regular flight, but he flew from Burlington to where he was going in Georgia, and the instructions were he had to go immediately to the hospital there to get checked out. And it was a couple of weeks before he was actually up and around, but the newspaper gave his name and the town. And I got on the internet and I tried to find a person in that name, and I found an address, and I wrote a letter just to let him know that it was an unusual situation for us, but that morning, the morning of the marathon, God had put it on my heart to pray for the runners in that race. And then I hear about his situation. I said, I don't know if you're the right guy, but whether you are or not, I just wanted to let you know that God in heaven knows the end from the beginning, knows what's going on in advance, and God had put it on my heart to pray. So even though this person didn't know what was coming, God did. And I just wanted to let you know about that. And he came up, it was the right guy, and he came up 6 months later or something like that. And actually, Deb and I met him and went out to dinner and just spent a little time with him. But he was so appreciative that we were obedient to God, and God knew in advance what was going on, and that prayer made a difference. Praise God. We never know what's going on to the people around us. We don't know. I mean, people go through life and they have we have an outer appearance, you know, the face that we show the world. And you don't really know necessarily what's going on in somebody's heart or somebody's life. Unless God has revealed it to you, you're not going to know. You'll only know that they let you know. But if God puts somebody on your heart, lift them up in prayer, because God knows they need prayer. And God knows that there is a situation going on. God who sees the end from the beginning. 2 Thessalonians 3, beginning with verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you. As we share the word of God with other people, and God has done wonderful things in our own lives, we're called to lift them up. We're called to share that word with other people. Those that have been an influence in our life, just as they've been an influence in our life, pray that God will use them as an influence in somebody else's life. Pray that God will use us to pass on that influence as well. Pray for God's grace, God's mercy. Pray, Lord, pray that the word of God go forth unimpeded, unimpaired, and unmodified as well. That the word of God goes forth in truth and in power. Verse 2, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Praise God. We need to be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. This is 2,000 years ago. This could be today's headlines. Okay? Nothing has changed. Solomon says there's nothing new under the sun. He says it in Ecclesiastes. There's nothing new under the sun. Might be different people in the roles, but the roles are the same. Verse 3, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. Praise God. How about that for a billboard to put over your desk? You know? I'm not a fan of tattoos, but if you're tattoos, that'd be one to put on your arm. Hey, look at there. God is the one who will guard us and protect us, will establish you and guard you from the evil one. Talk about people putting notes to themselves on the refrigerator, on the mirror, wherever you're going to put up notes, put up little sticky notes. God is the one who's able to guard you. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you. Now the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. So what has just happened here, and I've stopped and started on it a couple of times. Let me go back and actually read the whole thing together. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from the unreasonable and wicked men, for not all men have faith, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. Did you see what just happened? Paul said, pray for us, and in the meantime, I'm encouraging you because I'm praying for you that God is at work in your life as well. God is going to bring it to pass in your life. Don't just pray for me, but as I pray, I'm praying for you as well. When you pray, brethren, pray for us. When you pray, pray for those people God has put on your heart. Pray for those people around you. Pray for those people that have had influence in your life. That God might do great and wondrous things in them and through them. That God might use them in mighty ways. That God might show His grace through them to touch the hearts of somebody else. Hebrews 13, beginning with verse 18, says, pray for us. Think there's a theme here? For we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. But I especially urge you to do this that I may be restored to you sooner. Paul says, pray for me. I think I'm doing okay, but I need prayer anyway. Because I could be wrong. I think I'm doing all right, but I still need God's guidance. I think I'm doing what God has put on my heart, but God is still able to direct my steps. I could still be wrong, but if my heart is set to follow God, God's going to direct my steps into what's supposed to be right, into what He has desired for me. Pray for me. Pray for us. But I urge you to do this that I may be restored to you the sooner. Lord, let's work this out. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Again, pray for us. And, oh, by the way, let me pray for you real quick right here too. In Luke 22, beginning with verse 31, the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." Jesus says, "Peter, you have some testing coming up. And the testing is going to be more than you're able to bear. The testing is going to shake you to the core. And you're going to stumble and you're going to fall. But when you get up, strengthen the brethren." When you fall, it's not the end of the story. When you fall, God is not done with you. When you get up, strengthen the brethren. Jesus prayed for Peter. Think about that. If Jesus didn't say, "I talked to him, Satan desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat, and I didn't sell him, no. I said, go away, bother somebody else." He said, "I prayed for you that your strength doesn't fail. And when you have returned, strengthen your brethren." Jesus could have easily got into flesh. He could have blocked Satan. He could have not allowed him to do anything to Peter. But that would have defeated the purpose. That would have defeated the testimony. That would have defeated the witness to the people around. It was important that Peter go through that. Because on the day of Pentecost, Peter was a whole different person than he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was a whole different person because of what God had done. So sometimes when we go through things, difficult as they may be, it's all part of what God is working. Because He's already promised to cause all things to work together for good to them who love the Lord, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We know what the Scripture says. And we may not understand why we have to go through some of the things we go through. But God is still God. God is still on the throne. He has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He is still at work in our circumstances. So as even Jesus says, Jesus warned him, "Satan has desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen the brethren." King James says, "When you are converted, strengthen the brethren." When you go through that thing that changes you, encourage other people. Final passage of Scripture, Galatians 6, beginning with verse 9. Says this, "And let us not grow weary in while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." I started this saying that we are called to love our neighbors as ourselves. We are commanded, not just called, we are commanded to love our neighbors as ourselves. And as we look at our own lives, we recognize the need for prayer. We should have that same love for others, that as we're willing to pray for ourselves, we should be praying for other people. Pray that their faith doesn't fail. Pray that God use them in a mighty way. Pray that the Lord direct their steps. Pray that He watch over and keep them and protect them. Pray that that their lives bring glory to His name. Pray that they become faithful witnesses. Pray, Lord, that God gives them everything they need. All those things pertaining to righteousness and holiness, which were promised in the Scripture. Lift up other people and pray for them. You know, when you're praying for other people, your problems look a lot smaller. Praise God. Because if we get all wrapped up in our own problems, it's easy to lose sight of the things God has already done. But as we pray for other people, God shows Himself mighty in their lives. And also God is at work on us because we're no longer in the way. Do you ever tell God how to fix your life? How's that work out? God never takes my suggestions. Never. But He is still God. He is still at work. When you pray, pray for us. Amen. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord, that You have been at work in our hearts and lives even before we were born. That You who saw the end from the beginning have been directing our history and are directing our present and are directing us into the future, for You see the end from the beginning. We thank You, Lord, for Your love and grace. We thank You, Father, for the reminder to lift up one another, to pray one for another, to confess our faults one to another, Lord, that we may be healed, that You teach us and guide us and show us Your grace and show us Your love. We give You praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.